You know, when we was praising a minute ago, and this wasn't a vision, but this is what come my mind, like God showed me this. I saw Jason standing up here holding a Christian flag, and we was all behind him walking. We was walking down this, like a runway thing, and there's ropes and stuff, and you're holding this flag, and we're all behind him, you know, and people's cheering, you know, and it's like, okay, SCA just made it to heaven, okay, you know what I'm saying? This group of warriors just made it, and the rest of our warriors, our brothers and sisters, cheering us on, and we get up there, we're carrying a flag. Remind me of the Olympics just about, you know what I'm saying? And we went off to the side, next thing, here comes, woo, here comes Tyndall, here, you know, just the, we're all one body, but the, here come the warriors marching in and stuff, you know. And so I think it's, we got to hang in there, it's getting close, it really is. You know, of course, our competition isn't against each other, is against the devil. And we already won it. We just got to hold the flag and stay firm and speak his word out, you know. He strengthens us every day. Every day. And I just, you know, on my heart today is, thank you, awesome guys. Thanks for leading us in praise and worship. And I just, today I'm looking at our desire, our calling is to bring God glory. You know that? You know, remember, one number one thing. I always say number one thing, but there's like 40 number one things, right? He created us for purpose, and that is to be in fellowship with Him. Think of that. That's what He wants us to do. Man, when we come to Him through Christ, we're His child, and He wants to talk to us. Every day. He wants to hear your good things, your bad things, but I know He already knows, but He wants to be in communications. He wants you to share your heart. He wants you to share with Him when you're frustrated, when you don't understand what's going on in this world. He wants you to say, God, I don't know. You got to help me. If I'm going to get through today, God, you're going to have to help me. Help me, Lord. And boy, He's there. I tell you, when I talk to God in my tough times, He just, I don't, it's His Spirit. My spirit and His spirit lives in me, connected to Him. It renews me. It strengthens me by talking to Him. You ever have a problem, you talk to an individual, they can't help you, but it just helps you to get it off your chest. Amen? Amen. You know, wives call it talking, men call it complaining, you know, when they talk to us, but just to get off our chest. Well, think of this. When we do that with God, we're not just complaining to Him or talking to Him. We're talking to the one who can do something about it. And He does that. Amen. And He wants that. I mean, wow. And sometimes we get so wrapped up in the things around us, we kind of forget that. That the Creator of the universe made us for a purpose to be in fellowship with Him. And a couple of things I was talking to the Lord this past week. How many was here last Sunday? I don't want to go through everything. Okay. I just shared briefly, again, about our trip down to Virginia. Remember how we was coming back, I had detours in my GPS, and instead of getting my hotel room when I wanted to, we were like a half hour late or an hour late, which is perfect timing because we went to this restaurant and the guy was choking. I got to save him. And we was talking about that. I said, man, that's something, you know. But God has shared on me. He says, Starkey, if you didn't go on, say, Route 17, remember right outside of Fredericksburg, but if I didn't listen to my GPS, now I'm going to take 95. He said, I would still got you there in the perfect time. I don't know why. He said, you were destined for that. And he took me to Psalms 91. The angel was working to get you there at a perfect timing. And we're just kicking around. Like, I hear him talking, okay, how are we going to get Starkey there? We've got to slow him down a little bit. You know how he likes to get the hotel and eat. Okay, let's slow him down. Let's take him this route. Let's take him this route, you know. But we were destined to be there. How I got there was, could have been a lot of different ways. But then the other thing that came to me was when I got there, I sat there in God's perfect timing, but still had my own will. Think of it. He got me there. But I can sit there now and decide, I'm going to get involved. Well, man, I don't want that guy to throw up on me and sit there. You see what I'm saying? And again, there was such a peace through the whole trip. All everything was, thank you, Lord. And boom, got involved with them. And folks, every one of our lives are the same way. You know, we have decorations. What we share before church today on the back of your bulletins is decorations, you know, to speak them out and hear them. And we always declare every morning, you know, that we were put on this earth here to worship God and to enforce His, not enforce his will, but his will be done on earth as in heaven. And so when I leave the home, my mind is always trying to encounter, okay, how can I share God? How can I share God? What does God want me to do today? And we'll put us in different positions to do his perfect will. I mean, if the guy wasn't choking, still there, his perfect will was to pray with a waitress. You ever go to a restaurant and have a sad waitress? One's kind of down and out, you know. Hey, what's wrong? Oh, whatever. Can I pray with you? Don't be afraid to do that. We're really, things are heating up for the body of Christ, man. Awesome times are here. But he's going to put us exactly where he wants us at if we allow his perfect will to work through us, and that is to bring him glory. You know, to bring him glory. It's just, I had a situation there Friday. It was awesome. And many, how many are here Friday night? Yeah, we had an awesome time. So you heard this too, but I just want to share that Friday went down and seen Edie, and I saw Bob. And I finally remember her name is Edie now. Poor lady, I've been calling her Edith for years, and she never answered me, and I know why now. So, but coming back, I prayed all the way down, and I prayed in my prayer language, worshiping the Lord and worship music. And I left the hospital, and God brought me in my mind down here for Friday night service. He said, listen, I want you to share this Friday night. Because the day before, I had a couple in here, had been in church all their life, and I started talking to them about being born again and a relationship with Jesus. They had no idea what I was talking about. They've been in church, but not with the Lord. You understand where I'm going? So he told me he wanted me to share the gospel Friday night. And I got here, and I was ready to do it. Then halfway through the service, oh, well, probably not. I mean, uncle here, uncle there. I knew I had a few people out there that didn't know Jesus yet. But, you know, the devil brings you all these reasons not to do it. You know, next time, you know, you get some more jokes. I love telling jokes. But that evening, I presented the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I know we had probably had 15 people in the church either receive Jesus the first time or rededicate their life. But sitting right where you're at, a 91-year-old man who's Attorney General in Indiana, a lawyer, an awesome man of God, veteran, he gave his life to Jesus. And the young man there, he's over in the Presbyterian Church today to help him out. He gave his life to Christ. And I've seen many of you raise your hand, rededicating your life to him. And that's awesome to me. That's just like taking that, even though you're under the blood of Jesus, it's like, again, taking that slate board that has all the stuff you messed up on, and you wiped it clean in your spirit, you know, man. And so I say that at the end of this month, again, I bought a kiddie pool for baptism, but it's big enough for everyone. Not at the same time. But, I mean, it's big. And if you want to be baptized, if you want to be baptized, let me know. And I'll talk with you and we'll get you on the schedule. Because many of us were baptized as a youngster. We were dedicated maybe as a baby. And they call it baptism. But baptism is when you're old enough to decide that you want Jesus. And you make a public confession by being baptized. So if that's on your heart. We have four people scheduled. If there's any trouble with the four people we have scheduled, we're blessed because we prayed for them to get jobs and they're all working now. So whether they can make it that Sunday or not, I'm not sure. But I'm not going to pray they get fired. No, I'm not going to do that. So, but anyway, it's just always seeking God's fullness and his will to bring glory to God. And I think we have that in our mind, that what are you going to do when you leave church today, that you want to bring the glory to God? Man, we really do a lot more for him, I think. Just having that shoulder to lean on. But remember this also. As that particular time, you all could testify where God put you in perfect place at the perfect time. But remember, he's doing the same for you. When you're sitting and saying, man, I just need something, God, I don't know what it is. And there's a... Yeah, that could be your answer at the door. Okay, I'm not saying you got to answer your door, but I'm saying that he'll reach out to you to help you, just as he used you to reach out for other people and to recognize that, you know. Folks, we all need one another. We all need one another more and more as the battle raises up. But man, I mean, as God raises us up to bring his glory, the whole thing that Jesus did on earth to bring the glory to God. Amen? So who lives in us? Exactly. And who's our Lord and Savior? Jesus. Now, who is making us into His image? Awesome, man. We got a lot of right answers here. Oh, man. And when He's called us to do things, I got to turn the other light on. Sorry. Thank you. And this is kind of funny. I saw it earlier. Give me 30 seconds, okay? 29. He doesn't want you to be fearful. He deposited the Spirit within you and His Word. And what we have here today, can you see that tomato? That is a tomato, and it's got a nose on it. It looks like me almost. Okay? Now, the eyeballs and mustache were added by Miss Vicky. But look at it. I mean, that is weird. I mean, but see this tomato here? That would probably be called a perfect tomato. And see this tomato? Tomato here? Wow. They're different. But inside of them, if you smash them, I'm not going to smash them. They got the same seeds. If these seeds are planted, they're going to produce another tomato. Might not look like this one or this one or this one, but the seed will be the same. And folks, that's each one of you guys out there. Okay? Some of you don't look like this. Some of us do. Okay? But the thing inside of you is a seed that God has planted, His Word in you. Okay? And it's going to come out the same way it comes out of me. Anointed. Amen?
Amen.
You might use a different terminology. I'm a cop, retired cop. Okay? So I use a lot of cop stuff. Okay? And I've been on the farm. I use farm stuff. You know, Marty and Chuck, I mean, they're the same way. Well, every environment, some of you oil well drinker. Sorry. Oil well driller back here. Aaron, I mean, all you guys, you got things you've done in your life. And you might use that to relate to people with. But sharing the gospel is what we're all called to do, to bring God glory, you know? And sometimes you're going to share it, and you're going to think, well, I didn't get any farther than dropping a cement block, you know? But you had done what God called you to do. And then allow it to sit there, and then God will take it from there. But these days, God will always give us a way of bringing things around somehow to mention His name, somehow to talk about God. And I have a lot of times for openings around folks who I've never met before. I'll say, hey, and I'll think of a television minister that I listen to, you know, Kenny Copeland, one of them, Charlie Capp and stuff. I say, hey, do you ever listen to Charles Capps on TV? Oh, no. Oh, you know, he said... And I use that as open up just to bring the scripture out and start from there, you know. They might say, well, I don't listen to the preachers. Oh, okay. Well, he said this. You got the door open. I mean, God will show you somehow. Man. You know, we're talking. Marty might say, boy, I tell you what. Trying to get a new Christian like watching a cow birth a calf, you know. But you stay with it. Wrap around them chains around the legs. I don't know if you guys ever birthed one. I know you never birthed one, but if you ever bought a calf. Deliver them. Thank you very much. But man, we've had before and wrap chains around the legs and pull them. I mean, I remember Vince sitting there, legs on the cow's hind end and on the stall, pulling this thing, and they go. But boy, I tell you what, it was worth it once the calf came out. And same with us, it's worth sharing the gospel. No matter what kind of things Satan gets in your head, try to shut you down. And but I tell you, there's nothing greater than knowing that you did exactly what God's given you to say to somebody. And even though they don't receive it at that time, you know you planted that seed. And I know your Uncle Bob has been around for many years. Really an awesome guy. Really a nice guy. But one of the folks thinks that you get to heaven because you're in the military. Okay? I had a guy argued me one time. He told me I'd be in heaven because I was a cop. You know? Well, no. I'll be there because of Jesus, you know. And so he just, through ministry, and he'd been through a few of our funerals we've done, listened to the gospel come out, and whatever it was, God knew that day when I left Genesis, that would be an evening for him and many of us to renew our minds and renew our spirit with God. So it's awesome. Amen. But Jesus speaks to it here in John 17. We have it documented. Look at what he's called us to do, to be like him. And I think, you know, I can relate to this a little bit. Maybe you can too. When you know you're going to enter an area that there's not a whole lot of people or no believers at all around you, and you know in your heart you're going there because there's one purpose, and that is to share the gospel. And it says in John 17, verse 1 and 3, it says, "Now Jesus spoke these things, and raising his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you. Just as you gave him authority over all mankind, so that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." So, the first part of that scripture says, Father, the hour has come, glorify your Son. Strengthen your Son, anoint your Son. Oh, let me stand out in this group. Not for his glory, but for I can glorify you. Just as you gave him authority over all mankind, so that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. So Lord, I'm going today to the family reunion, Lord. And Father, I don't want anybody there to perish, neither you. So God, strengthen me, anoint me today. Give me that fortitude I need to stand up or share the gospel. God, that you may be glorified, that they may receive eternal life. Again, this could be one of the decorations if you know you're going somewhere to do that, because when you get around loved ones, there's not one of them that you want to see perish, right? And when you get around your workers with you, there's not one of them there that you want to see perish, you know? You might have some pretty hard people to work with who'll be around, but maybe we concentrate on the scripture, we see the way God does, maybe you want them to perish either. And as far as we can do to help establish that foundation is living our life according to God's will and God's laws, you know, and His laws are what? Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love in every self, yes. If we're doing that, man, we're doing exactly what He wants us to do. It breaks it down, everything else. Love, love, love. So when you establish Christ in your home, you say, well, these are boundary lines, guys. You know, oh, come on in. But you can't cross these boundaries. You do it out of love. Amen? Amen. 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 We have to watch what we give permission to, or what we allow to take place, because if we don't speak, then we're giving favor to that, or we're giving approval of it. And God doesn't want us to do that, you know. Again, He's with you all the time. He'll strengthen you. Sometimes you might be standing there alone, but who's with you? Amen, amen. Psalms 91 tells you, verse 11, His angels have been dispatched around you. They are all ministering angels to strengthen us, for us to do the will of God. Oh, yeah, I think some of them are bringing recruits for me. Like, come on. Yes, yes. And, you know, that's how important you all can be, because those without Christ in their life, they're out there on their own. And when you pray for them and say, God, you know, oh, man, you know, this is probably my wife years ago. God, tonight, Starkey just left in his cruiser to work. God, I know he doesn't know you. But God, send forth your angels around him. Alert your angels to watch over him, protect him, and bring him home safe. I have no authority. You know what I'm saying? I don't have a relationship with God. But by her interceding, and again, I hope we don't get tired of my this thing is, I ain't talk about my life because that's what I live. And when she woke up in the morning and prayed for me, or during the middle of the night, now I'm out there on my own, guys. And she's interceding for me. It made a difference. And same way with you, man. When God brings someone across your heart, and you say, oh, man, I know they're not. God, protect them. God, I want them to come to you. They might end up in prison, jail. They might be doing. But God, put your angel around them and keep them safe. They will come to know you. And so that's how important it is. God, you know, God wants us to be involved, for He can be involved. Amen? In Philippians 2:11 again is documented about God's glory. It says, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. What? To the glory of God the Father. Wow. And when that takes place, as you intercede, as you pray, and Philippians 2:11, and as you bring God the glory, I mean, when you're worshiping Him today, man, you are bringing God the glory. When you're lifting your voices up, lifting your hands up, lifting your spirit up, whatever it is, man, you're just calling out to Him, you're bringing glory to God. And then, again, when we share God's love, when we share the truth, the Gospels, however He shows you to present it, we're there interceding to bring Him glory. Oh man, thank you so much, David. No. Not me. God. God the one that sent me here today. Oh man, I'm going to tell you, thanks for picking me up today, Vicky. Oh no. Give God the glory. I mean, He provided the car and the gas. I just drove by. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying you can't say, well, you're welcome, but I'm going to tell you, God's the one that provided my car or my gas. You know, always bringing Him glory. We do hear kiddingly a lot, but always reflect to God. Hey, Stark, thanks for dinner today. Don't thank me. Thank God. He provides it. We just burn it for you. Okay? But always, see what I'm saying? Just, I know. What's that? If we provide the sacrifice. Yeah, I can see it now. I thought you guys were a New Testament church. We are. Why do you sacrifice the food every day then? Okay. John 12:27. Bringing God glory. No matter what, no matter how bad it gets, bringing Him the glory. Oh, my car broke down. I got a record coming. When that record driver gets there, let's make sure we give God. Brian, thank you. I'm glad you're working today, you know. And know that God will take that situation and work through you to minister that record driver. Now my soul has become troubled. And what am I to say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came out of heaven. I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. So the crowd who stood by and heard it were saying that it had thundered. Others were saying, an angel has spoken to him. And Jesus responded and said, this voice has not come for my sake, but for yours. Now judgment is upon this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. Now he was saying this to indicate what kind of death He was going to die. And that is so powerful right there. If I be lifted up upon the earth, above the earth, I will draw all people. And he was talking about he's going to be raised up in a cross. He's going to die. But today he has called us, you and me, to do the same thing. To die to ourself. To put ourselves on that cross and lift him up. So again, in that situation that you're involved in, it might be you going through some tough times, and you're praising God, and you're just saying, you know, God's with me, He's going to bring me through the storm. Or when you go someone else, and you're speaking to them, and you lift up the name of Jesus Christ in that situation. When you say, man, I ain't nobody, how can I pray for somebody? It's not you, it's Christ praying through you, the Holy Spirit, you know. And I'm not talking about praying in tongues, you know. I pray in tongues all the time. When you say pray in the Spirit, is how the Spirit moves you. The Spirit will give you English to speak, you know. Some of you guys might pray with it sometime during the service. I'm not praying over the top of my prayer language. You heard it before. Kaliyateka shamanaliyata. Okay? But give me words of praying that you hear. And He does that. When God says, oh man, I want you to pray for Bonnie today. And you go over and just speak. And He gives you a word of speaking to it. It would do me no good to speak it to you in my prayer language. Okay, but what's He talking? He's speaking to you. And so God will say, hey, I want you to call Aaron today. And tell him, hey, whatever it is, you call Aaron, you speak to him. Amen? Lifting Christ up. And we have to watch out. That it's easy to get sucked in. Oh man, my car broke down. It's a piece of junk. And I'm telling you what, I had the worst luck in the world. Oh, I know you do. Boy, it's tough. And real quick when we get into it, wait a second. thank God you made it to church before it broke down. Yes. And there's no such thing as luck. Cast that out of your vocabulary. If you're a child of God, it's not luck. It's favor of the Lord. Now, I don't know why my car broke down out there, but God trusts in you that you have me under your control, and there's a purpose for that. Whatever it is, I might never know. But I thank you. And then God, help me do what I need to do. Give Him the glory. And that's, you know, that's retraining our thoughts. Sometimes your car breaks down. What did I do wrong today, God? Why did you break my car down for me? We start thinking we did something wrong. Number one, cars are going to break down. Amen. They're going to take breakdown. That's just what they do. But with God involved in your life, He'll help you with that. But we start complaining about it. Now we got to train our mind to always give Him the glory, you know. And then, okay, it broke down. I got to call a record guy. Record guy comes. You got someone there that you can minister to. And you know He'll listen to you because He wants to get paid. You know? But again, just turn things around. And sometimes the devil will come after you and he can cause things to take place. Right? Well, if every time he slapped you, you say, I love Jesus. And he slapped you again. I love Jesus. He hates the name of Jesus. He's going to leave you. He'll all go somewhere else, you know. I'll go somewhere else. And he slap somebody else and they start taking God's name in vain. He's going to hang out there for a while. Like, yeah, I agree with you. Say it again. Boom. Ah, boom. But when we glorify the Lord, all my lands, He hates that. Mm-mm-mm. But that's what He wants us to do is bring Him glory. Mm. John 13:31. It says, therefore, when He had left, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in Him. If God is glorified in Him, God will also glorify Him in Himself, and will glorify Him immediately. Inside of you is the Spirit of the living God. And I'm telling you what, how many times have you been blessed from being a nice person? Yes. Representing Christ. Yes. So man, the scripture says that God causes the increase, God causes the advancement, okay, for His children, that we humble ourselves. He causes all these things. So when you're at work and you're ready for a promotion, and you're ready for, I mean, you already got the box packed up. You're moving out of the factory into the desk job, man. And you're ready to go. And they announce it the next day on the bulletin board. This person who just got hired 2 months ago just got the job that you wanted. And you are still in that factory sweating. And here comes a promoter guy, your boss, coming through. Yeah. Maybe the old man wants to grab a hold of him and put his head in the press, you know, and make a calendar out on whatever you did. But who causes the increase? God. Who brings promotion? God. Then we have to trust God. Okay. That wasn't made for me yet. Okay. And so when that person comes through, that promoter guy comes through, hey, how you doing, boss? Hey, good to see you, man. Well, Starkey, I brought, you know, George ahead of you. Well, hey, I pray for you every day, boss, to have wisdom, that God would give you wisdom. So I know you did what God calls you to do. Now, as you go through the factory, the other 39 people is cussing them out. Hey, I wanted that job. I've been here 40 years. But there you are, Christ living through you. And when Isaiah has a scripture, when the time is right, God will make it happen. So we have to trust in Him. You know, I remember over there several times, thanks to the missus always praying for me, I was passed over promotions a couple of times in my younger days. I wasn't happy about it. Best thing ever happened. Why? Because I wasn't ready yet. I had to mature. Amen? So we just trust God. Okay, I'm not sure what's happening, God. Did I do something to cause this? You know, it could be, well, God, You told me to provide all my needs, and man, I get my house payment due Friday, and I'm $300 short. I mean, come on, what are you doing with it? God said, well, you remember the $300 you took down, bought lottery tickets with? Yeah. Well, you remember when you took everybody out in Bottom State Dinners? Yeah. There the money was. Oh, God. Okay, I'm sorry. We learned from that. But, yeah, I mean, we just, sometimes we can cause the delay of things because we're not keeping our ears attentive to Him. And we've all probably done that one time in our life or two, you know. You get short on paying a bill because you took your money. And except for my wife. I mean, she is so disciplined. I mean, she has envelopes for everything. I mean, it's awesome. I mean, she puts them in before she does anything. She even got one that says Starkey in case he needs money. Yeah, but she does. She is so disciplined. Wow. And that came by, and her mom is the same way. So it just come by being, right, Carol? He's just being taught that way, you know? Ryan the same way, okay? You know? Now, me and Chad, we got the same blood. I'm telling you. You know, I figure, hey, I'm going to not be here tomorrow. Spend it today. And when tomorrow shows up, I go to my wife. Hey, honey. Yeah, but just learning, you know, just to, all of us to see, okay, God, meet my needs. I'm going to follow. Give me wisdom on things. I mean, He doesn't regret. I mean, He doesn't keep away from you from enjoying yourself, you know. But when He says, I'll meet your needs, allow Him to meet those needs and then use a surplus for however He objects you to do that. Amen? Yeah. To bring Him glory. Bring Him glory. Proverbs 16:9. And it kind of goes back to what I was saying when I first opened it, talking about coming back up from Virginia. I had a GPS. And I had several different ways I could have got to my hotel that night. But Proverbs 16:9. So the mind of a person plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. I knew I was going to the hotel that night, okay? But as a child of God, He directed my steps. I listened to Him. And same with us today. We trust in Him, and we're not doing things out of anger. He's, oh, and take off. Okay, God, You're with me. You're following me. You ever go down the highway, and for some reason, you think, I don't know, I need to turn here. And you turn there. Then later on you find out there was an accident on the highway. And you think, well, why didn't God do that person? Well, maybe He did. And they weren't listening. Maybe, you know, I mean, I can't speak for why things happen like that. But yeah, a lot of, I don't know. I just feel in my spirit, I shouldn't go today. And you don't go and look, I mean, yeah. That's that voice in us. I mean, remember your angels have been assigned to you and their job is when you say, man, one of my favorite verses, I shall live and not die and proclaim the glory of the Lord. Bob, God said, I can limit mankind 120 years. I want all 120. That's what Brother Bob says all the time. Yeah, I call him the hospital. Hey, I'm getting 120 years out of this. But I speak it out. That way, my ministry angels know what I have decreed and they're like, okay, you don't want to die. You get up ahead of me. Okay, whatever it might be. If I start speaking negative, then they're going to sit back. I mean, it might sound strange to you, but they listen to the Word of God. Okay? And when we pray, when we get in our car, Lord, put your angel around us, keep us safe. I know they're already there. I'm just making sure they understand. Safe travels, favor of gas pumps, you know, vehicle's not going to break down, and return home safely. Boom. I decree that. Okay? And if I get down there the road and it breaks down for some reason, then I know I got to dust him before God wants me to do something here. Amen? Because I'm not going to complain because something broke down. I'm going to give Him the glory for it. And trust in that. You don't feel any better when you complain all the time, do you? No, amen. Amen. In Psalms 37:23, to the steps of a righteous man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his ways. And some says, reads, the steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. And we sing a song here once in a while, so what are we going to do today, Lord? What are we going to do today? Miracle, sign, or wonder? So we get up, and you might have a destination to, when you get up in the morning, you got to go to work, you're here, you got to babysit, whatever it might be. But God, what do you want to do today? You know where I'm going. Let me hear your voice. Direct me in your ways that I may honor you. And above all, everything we do to bring God glory. That's probably why that's communication with Him and bringing glory to the Heavenly Father. And the last one I have for the day is Luke chapter 7, verse 11. And this is the verse, if you hear Wednesday night, I told Carol, that's the verse I had ready for Sunday. So you might be familiar with it. But Luke chapter 7, verse 11. So soon afterward, Jesus went to a city called Nain, and His disciples were going along with Him, accompanied by a large crowd. Now as He approached the gate of the city, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a sizable crowd from the city was with her. So here we got a large crowd with Jesus coming this way, the deceased son, and a large crowd coming this way. When the Lord saw her, he felt compassion for her and said to her, "Do not go on weeping." And He came up and touched the coffin, and the bearers came to a halt, and He said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. And fear gripped them all, and they began glorifying God, saying, "A great prophet has appeared among us, and God has visited His people." And this report about Him spread throughout Judea and all the surrounding region. So, in my mind, I see Jesus with this crowd, they're headed to the big city, a large crowd, He says. And in this crowd, you probably got men, you got women, you got children. And Jesus, He's destined to go here. And I would say probably along the way, hey Jesus, that much, what? My kid's got to pee again. All right, hold up, guys, hold up. And Johnny runs up behind the tree, okay. They take off again. Jesus! Yes, guys, what's going on, man? I'm going to the city. Come on. Starkey's getting older. We have to slow down a little bit. He can't keep up. All right, we're not going to leave anybody behind. Come on. Distraction after distraction coming up. Now here he sees the gates of the city. He sees this large crowd coming out. Now, what would the thought be? Man, they've been out on the road, guys. All this time, we're an hour late already. They've got the gate blocked because of this funeral thing. Come on, guys, step aside. Come on. Cemetery's over here. I got an appointment in town. I got an appointment inside the city gate. Come on. They finally get going. The widow goes past. She's crying. They're weeping. Their son's passed away. And Jesus goes, man, I'm telling you what. Do you know who I am? I'm an important person. Finally, they get on path, and Jesus takes the crowd into town. Whew. Is that what Jesus did? No. Look at the perfect timing. God put Jesus right there at the right time to glorify Him. It was up to the Master to do that. He could have stepped aside. Come on, guys. Come on. But He knows His life is planned. His steps are planned by the Father in heaven, like ours. And so instead of getting upset because Johnny had to go to the bathroom and the older people are lagging behind and this and that and the other, hey, I'm going to the city, but God didn't say what time I'm going to get there. And look what He did. Compassion. That's the number one thing. That lady, I don't know if she knew the Messiah. I don't know if she ever heard about Jesus. I'm not sure. She might have known about Jesus, but forgot about Him. She is so wrapped up in her sorrow. Her heart is broken for her son. I mean, that's her livelihood now. She's a widow lady. And her heart is broken. Maybe her eyeballs are down. She's looking down at the ground like this. And very easily, Jesus could have went past. Never had to look in the eyes. It's kind of hard to look at somebody in the eyes who's in need and walk past them, right? But here she is down like this. And over here is Jesus and his crowd. And Jesus looks over here and He is moved with compassion. You know what? I can do something about this, Jesus says. And what did He do? He walked over and said, "Hey, come on. Stop your weeping." And brought the son back to life. and it brought God the glory. And now today he might not be calling you to lay hands on a funeral possession, but there's a lot of people out there today dead in their spirits. Their hearts are broken. They don't know where to go. They have no hope. And the hope that we have in Christ Jesus is in us. And the world needs it. I know sometimes when you see people out on the streets, and boy, we know they need something, need help. And but it's so easy if they keep their head down. And when you cross the street and go this way, you know. But man, when you gotta walk past and you look at them, you think for a minute, man, that's somebody's son. That could be a husband, a brother. But you know who he is? A person made in the image of Jesus. An image of God. How can I help them? And I know this day and age, you've got to be careful. But you can help somebody, if nothing else, pick up your phone and say, man, I got this guy out here along the highway. I think he's stumbling, but you know, he needs help. Because ladies, might not be safe for you to stop. Amen? Somebody's broke down along the highway. Oh, I forgot my cell phone today. Oh, he pulled in the next restaurant. Hey, do you have a report of a green Camaro broken down? Just doing what we might be able to do. And if that's going to make you late somewhere for an appointment, it'll make you late. Now, at some point, I know you can't. I understand that you got a doctor's appointment. If you're ever late for a doctor's appointment, they reschedule for 3 months later and they charge you anyway. I can understand that. I really encourage you to leave earlier. Leave earlier. Get there an hour early. You know what I'm saying? An hour early in the waiting room? Yes. What better else than minister the Word of God if you can? You know? But anyway, do what you can to help someone. I can do something maybe that you can't do, and you can do something that I can't do. Okay? I mean, the last thing you want me to do, if you broke down on the road, you want me to stop and work on your cars? No. But call AAA, I can. But again, compassion. And folks, there's so much need of compassion out in the world today. But man, we've got to be like the Lord looking, okay, how can I help in this situation? How can I help in this situation? And I'm totally convinced as we pour ourselves into others, allow God to pour other people into us to strengthen us. You know, what you sow, you reap. You're not feeling good? Pray for somebody. Intercede for one another. That's an awesome thing. Praise God.